Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the Crypto Rabbit Hole. Today we have our first ever guest, crypto entrepreneur and thought leader, Vivek Raman. So, hey, Vivek, great having you here. Welcome to the Crypto Rabbit Hole. So, first of all, I really just wanted to thank you for coming as our first guest. Hopefully, it's the first of many episodes. And before we get started, I just wanted to say that the reason I'm doing this is because I really feel that kids these days, you know, in school, we don't really have an outlet to learn about, you know, not even crypto, just money and financial literacy in general. So crypto, I just felt it's a super interesting extension of that. And I thought, why don't I take it upon myself to, you know, start this outlet where, you know, maybe I can help a few kids learn about it. So, I mean, why don't you just tell us, Vivek, like about your background, how you got into crypto, where you're at now, and, you know, where you see it going in the future.
Totally. So first off, I love the initiative. Thanks for having me on as your first guest. But I do love the initiative and exactly what your mission is of spreading financial education and financial knowledge and open access to everybody. That's like the mission statement of crypto. So like you're hitting the nail on the head, and I'm pumped for you to go deeper down that crypto rabbit hole. Quick background. I went to Yale. I took a major in economics. And then I graduated and went straight to Wall Street because that's what all economics majors from school generally did back then. And I spent 10 years on Wall Street working for four different banks. I traded high yield bonds, high yield bonds, distress bonds, etc. It was a great financial education. It was a great way to meet people and to network and to get a basis for how the financial world works. But what I did start to see is there was just a bit of a lack of innovation in the financial sector. So like Wall Street was already really big. It already got huge. It was very just like entrenched in just keeping the status quo. And I started to hear about this thing called crypto, like as early as 2014, 2015, but never did anything because most people ignored it. And especially like when you see something that small and can't see it as a threat and you work at a big bank, you sort of like laugh it off. But finally in 2019, I left Wall Street after a great decade. It was super fun. And when I left, sort of your brain starts exploring other things and other growth opportunities. And one of those was crypto. So I'd ignored it for so long, but finally started to see that, okay, like this Bitcoin thing is still here. This Ethereum thing is starting to create real innovation. Was like, look at it. And I first started buying Bitcoin pretty recently, before the coronavirus pandemic started, as a sort of hedge for a bunch of money printing. So the good part is, I mean, well, I guess the bad part is like Bitcoin and crypto are still very, very risky assets. And when coronavirus, the market crashed, everything crashed. But the correct part of the thesis is we did go into a new regime of printing basically infinite money. And the government started printing money, the Fed lowered rates to zero, and we basically said that we're going to flood the market with dollars. And that's where crypto's real reason to shine started to be born. And so I started investing heavily in Bitcoin, and then very quickly learned about Ethereum, which we can also go through. And Ethereum is sort of the extension of Bitcoin, where you can actually build applications and build decentralized finance and build platforms. And yeah, it's been no looking back. I mean, it's one of the coolest areas where you can just like learn. You can spend all of your time on it. I think it's the next couple of decades. It's basically like how Web 2.0 and all the big tech companies took off for the last couple of decades. I think the next couple of decades it's gonna be all dedicated to crypto. That's where I am now.
Yeah, totally. So I mean, you talked about Bitcoin and Ethereum already. And I touched on this a bit before, but like even before crypto, like kids my age, in school, we don't really have the opportunity to learn anything about, you know, financial literacy or money or any of that. So like, why should we care? Like, why is it important for not only the future, but for now, for kids my age?
That's a super important question. And that's probably one of the biggest, mission statements for crypto is equalizing access of financial opportunity for everybody, whether you're a kid, whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your 20s, or whether you're in retirement. giving equal access. And how it used to be is we were in a world where we didn't print infinite dollars. So interest rates were higher. You could earn money by keeping your dollars in a savings account. It was sort of the standard financial literacy was just save a bunch of money, save your paycheck, and then over time that'll grow. And when you retire, you'll have a large amount you can retire on. It sounds great. Well, that's changed because now it started after the 2008 financial crisis, but especially accelerated by coronavirus, we've lowered interest rates to zero. So now actually the opposite's happening where do the old playbook of keeping money in a savings account, you actually lose value because inflation's coming. So economics doesn't really teach you this because this is a very, very recent phenomenon. And school doesn't really teach you this because it's, again, a very recent phenomenon. So it's sort of really, really important to find things that you can use to save money and build wealth for later on. And crypto gives you those tools. And they're tools that usually like old Wall Street banks would have access to, or really wealthy people would have access to. But crypto equalizes that and gives access to people like you and me. And that's why it's so important to learn about it.
Yeah, for sure. So going into crypto, like obviously when you're talking about crypto, the big name is Bitcoin. Everyone knows about Bitcoin. So in your experience, like, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Bitcoin? And also, even like, what are your thoughts on Bitcoin and even other coins that people might consider looking at? After they look into Bitcoin, or even coins that you might prefer over Bitcoin.
Totally, and the cool part is there's so much opportunity in crypto that there's no real right answer, and everyone can have really interesting debate and have different theses, and there's a way to express any sort of view. And there's a lot of ways you can make money and save money in it. It depends on your risk profile, but I will speak to my personal views. Again, they're not like financial advice, but my personal views are Bitcoin's amazing. Bitcoin's like the first entryway into crypto for people that are non-crypto. And that's because Bitcoin's the simplest. Bitcoin is basically the digital version of gold, which is what all our parents, our grandparents, I mean, everyone used to hold as a store of value for hundreds, even longer, hundreds of years. And it was the historical store of value. The problem is gold is hard to store. It's hard to get access to. And like, right. It just got a lot of logistical issues. Bitcoin invented a way to digitize that and keep it as a scarce store of value. Arguably, actually, it's a better store of value than gold because there's an increase in gold supply and Bitcoin will have a decreasing supply or a less inflationary supply over time. So again, as a store of value, Bitcoin is awesome. And because it's got a fixed supply, it's going to become scarce and people can hold it as a store of value against inflation. And for that reason, I think it belongs in everyone's portfolio. Just the question is how much. There are problems with Bitcoin that are probably beyond the scope of this video, and we can go into them some other time, such as energy usage and a shrinking security budget and a lot of stuff about how blockchains work. But because it's so widely adopted and because it's sort of the first entryway into crypto, it's going to have a place, and I think it's going to be digital gold, and that's the way to think about it. And so while the previous generations would have kept gold as a portion of their portfolio, I think that our generation should keep Bitcoin as part of our portfolio. I specifically like Ethereum much, much more than Bitcoin. And I personally own a lot more Ethereum than Bitcoin, but it's a different play. Ethereum is a platform where you can build applications, financial applications, NFT applications, honestly, any other applications. And so to me, it's more of a technology play, kind of like buying Apple and having access to the App Store, or kind of like buying Amazon, having access to the Amazon Web Services. That's what Ethereum is, but it's decentralized and gives access to everybody. So again, we can talk more about that, but I think a split portfolio between Bitcoin and Ethereum is a good portfolio to have to hedge against inflation, to hedge against the dollar falling, and also have some upside for the future.
Yeah, no, for sure. So going into Ethereum, actually, people say it's both, money like Bitcoin. And also, like you said, it's a technology. So how do you see the technology aspect of it, having effect on our society in the future? And also, how does that, like, what's the relationship between the technological space and the money that comes along with it?
Totally. And that's the right question for Ethereum. And that's actually why Ethereum gets a lot of criticism, because people say it's trying to do everything and be everything. And it's an ambitious roadmap. And right now, I will say Bitcoin is better money right now than Ethereum currently, because Bitcoin is designed to do one thing, and that is to hold value. It's not really meant to be traded. It's not really meant to be used as payments. It's meant to sit and store value, kind of like gold is. So for that, so in terms of having a singular use case, Bitcoin is currently superior to Ethereum. I think that'll change over time. Ethereum, first and foremost, is an application platform. So it is first and foremost a technology that allows anyone who can program in a language called Solidity, which is pretty accessible, to create any sort of application on top of it that anyone in the world can use without permission. And that's very, very important, because in a world where governments may or may not, especially in other countries, you may not be able to use certain applications in certain countries, or governments may put restrictions on certain things that give economic access and freedom. Ethereum lets anyone permissionlessly create applications that anyone can use. And that's very, very powerful. The biggest two use cases are decentralized finance, and that's what I work on primarily now. And that's basically giving access to tools that right now only banks had access to everybody. For example, anyone can now take a loan, or repay a loan, or take leverage, or be in complicated financial products on Ethereum with an individual wallet. So that's really, really, really cool and life-changing. If someone in India can get access to a loan when they don't even have a bank, that's very cool. The second application is NFTs, and NFTs is a whole different conversation, but it's basically building culture and ownership on the blockchain. It's almost like creating like all collectible items, like art and trading cards and everything. Now they're digital and on the Ethereum blockchain. And it's only really possible on Ethereum. So as a technology platform, Ethereum is super, super compelling. Ethereum is also changing its monetary policy to try and become scarce, so it can also compete as money with Bitcoin. It's a long process. It's been trying to do that for 7-8 years. It's at the nine, it's basically at the finish line there. But we can't call Ethereum better money quite yet until it's fully transitioned into what's called a proof of stake world.
Okay. Yeah. So just one question I had, actually. So you mentioned the fact that, you know, some countries were looking into putting restrictions or bans on services. And that Ethereum could get around that. But like, say you have a country like China, which I know has, tried to put limitations on Bitcoin in the past. How do you see Ethereum getting around that?
Yeah, I want to caveat it. It's not necessarily getting around it. Like, the goal of Ethereum isn't to get around governments or like subvert government. It's to give access to tools that everyone should have. For example, everyone should have access to controlling their own money and their own property rights and be able to have basic banking services. That's what Ethereum wants to do. It wants to level the playing field and open it up. It's not trying to be anti-government. Actually, I think Ethereum embodies like a lot of the values that Western governments, specifically the US government, should be promoting, specifically property rights and equal opportunity for all. That's what our country was founded on. How would someone in China be able to use Ethereum? Well, Ethereum is a permissionless network. Anyone with access to the internet can send money, receive money, buy NFTs, participate in DeFi. What China has done is it's made it impossible for people to put their money on exchanges to buy crypto or take their money off. So but once your money is in the crypto ecosystem, you have control of your own money. So that's sort of like crypto creates its own closed ecosystem. The problem is getting on and off. And China's decided not to support crypto, so they've effectively banned all the things you can do to get on and off, such as Coinbase and other exchanges that you would use to get into crypto.
Okay, that's super interesting. So kind of moving back to Bitcoin. So the past week, especially, it's been going on for a little bit, but especially the past week, Bitcoin's price has shot up after it reached a high in May, and it kind of went down from there. So, you know, why do you think that is? And also, where do you see it going from here on this recent spike till, say, the end of the year?
Yeah, totally. Price predictions are hard, but everyone's supposed to have their own opinions, and if you're gonna invest in anything, and you gotta have a thesis for it. I think that's like part of financial education 101 is if you get into something, have an entry point, have an exit point, have a thesis and a view. And if something changes, then you have to change your view. That's important for any financial investment. But for crypto, and again, these are my own opinions and not financial advice and stuff. But Bitcoin was the first crypto, and it is the most easily understandable crypto, and it is the simplest crypto asset in that it's basically digital gold. And for that reason, not only have people sort of understand it and they're okay with it, but companies have too. I mean, companies like Tesla and MicroStrategy own Bitcoin on their balance sheets as a cash substitute to diversify their cash holdings and to protect against inflation. Now you see even countries are starting to look at adopting, like El Salvador. It's a very, very small step, but it's cool that they have made it legal tender to use Bitcoin in El Salvador. So, what will get adopted first, most widely, probably Bitcoin, because it's basically like gold. Just like there was a gold standard, maybe one day there'll be a Bitcoin standard. So because of that, I think Bitcoin it's only a $1 trillion asset right now. Gold is a $10 trillion asset. I think Bitcoin should be larger than gold because it's digital, it's more divisible, it's easier to transport, and it's gonna be more scarce. So I could actually see gold market cap going down to somewhere around 5 trillion and Bitcoin's going up to somewhere around 5 trillion. And what's 5 trillion? It's about $250,000 a Bitcoin. So like that's a good long-term target. What happens between now and end of year? I don't know. I think it'll go up. I think there's more and more demand for crypto, and again, it's a scarce asset. So I think we had a lot of scares this year. China banned crypto, and guess what? It's not dead. In fact, it's actually coming back to its all-time highs. The U.S. is thinking about how to thoughtfully regulate crypto while protecting investors, but still giving access. I mean, the U.S. isn't banning it, so that's very positive. So, and countries are adopting it. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of Bitcoin, I think it will go up first. I think it has, again, a long-term target of $200,000 to $250,000 of Bitcoin. But I think in the medium term, Ethereum's going to come for Bitcoin's throne, in a good way. I mean, it's a positive sum game, but Ethereum's also transforming to try and become money as well as a technology platform. And that's just something to watch. But for now, Bitcoin's king, and I think it's going to go up first.
Yeah, totally. So kind of piggybacking on that last segment. So there's been a lot of historically there's just been a lot of doubt and negativity surrounding crypto and Bitcoin specifically. You know, people saying it's bad for the environment. You know, it might be used for some sketchy purposes, or you know, people just might not have long-term trust in it holding up value-wise. So do you think all those you know, countries adopting it like El Salvador and, you know, many companies investing in it, like, do you think that will have a real effect on, you know, how society sees it and ultimately puts their trust in it?
Short answer is yes. I mean, any new technology always starts off being scrutinized. I'm sure that when the car was invented, people viewed it as evil, and the car is like being super environmentally destructive versus horses and carriages. But now look, cars are everywhere. I'm sure when the internet was started, people thought it would be used for malicious purposes. And now the internet's ubiquitous. Social media, when it started, people probably thought that it would create information issues, and now everyone in the world has a Facebook account, or a lot of people have Facebook accounts. So I view crypto as having much, much more upside to society and actually way less downside than people think. People are highlighting like ransomware and illicit activities where I think the US dollar is probably, I don't have stats for this, but the US dollar is also used for illicit activities too. In fact, it's US dollar is a lot less traceable than Bitcoin. Bitcoin, the whole idea of a blockchain is anyone can look at any transaction and verify it. So you can actually see where all transactions are going. So that's the cool part about a public blockchain. I think a lot of the issues around Bitcoin is just it's a new technology, and the fact that companies are embracing it so fast, and banks are offering custody services, and they're embracing Bitcoin as well. And countries, I just think the tide is moving towards technology, and I wouldn't bet against technology unless we see like a really, really, really big globally coordinated effort of all governments to ban it. That's really the huge long-term downside I see. But I think we've seen that only China has, and everyone else, even the US, is slowly and thoughtfully regulating it. I think it'll be fine. And the last thing is, does Bitcoin have environmental issues? Yeah, mining could potentially be bad for the environment, but there is a new innovation happening called proof of stake. Bitcoin operates under a mechanism called proof of work, which is environmentally unfriendly, but most of the new cryptocurrencies that have been introduced or are introduced are proof of stake. Ethereum is moving hopefully early next year from proof of work to proof of stake. And when that happens, I think we'll revisit this environmental concern, because if Ethereum becomes less environmentally harmful and still has good monetary properties, or maybe even potentially better than Bitcoin's monetary properties, it's worth considering. But again, that's a while out, and you can't really make that bet until it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with everything you just said. So I really hope you're right. You know, just kind of as an umbrella statement overall, right? So for kids my age, teenagers, if there was one message that you want to spread to us about crypto, like just about the crypto space in general, what would it be?
That's a great question. I think crypto is the greatest opportunity for our generations and future generations for decades to come. So, thought/advice number one is to start playing with it and start using it. It's one thing to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum, but it's another thing to actually start using some Ethereum applications or try sending Bitcoin to your friend. Start to use the technology, because using it is going to give you a lot more understanding than just investing in it. And building on that, advice thing number two, which literally I think it applies to our generation, future generations, but also previous generations, is learn to build some stuff. I mean, so the language used to build Ethereum applications is called Solidity. I think everyone should learn Solidity, just like we learn languages growing up in high school or middle school. You learn Spanish, French, etc. I think programming languages should be just as important, and I think being able to contribute to this economy is incredibly important for the future. So yeah, learn some Solidity, just learn some basics, and then start using some crypto. And that's how you can sort of get a leg up there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think coding is, I'm not much of a coder right now, but I think it's going to be.
Anyone can be.
In the future, yeah.
Anyone can be.
Totally.
Like if you can do math, if you go to science class, you go to math class, you learn history, you memorize stuff, coding is just another extension of all of that. So it's not some black box. It's crazy. So.
Yeah. I mean, so I think we're running a little short on time. So, I mean, just, you know, talking about you, like if anyone wanted to, you know, look you up or learn more about just what you're about, I guess, like where can they find that?
Cool. Well, I appreciate you having me on. Twitter, ironically, is one of the best news sources and messaging sources for crypto. It seems like the whole crypto universe is his congregator on Twitter, as well as Discord and Telegram and Signal and all these. But you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @VivekVentures, VIVEK Ventures. And that's where all of us spend way too much time trying to figure out what's going on in this crypto rabbit hole. So.
Okay. That's awesome. So yeah, I mean, as far as me, you can check me out at cryptorabbithole.net. So check that out. Vivek, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate
it.
This is super interesting.
Keep building stuff. I love it.
Thanks.